The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Tampa Tom, talking while time tick-tocks away. You'll hear what he said, and we'll tell you exactly what it means. Then, the aftermath off the worst day of his career. What really went wrong, and what did that mean for the young star in Kansas City? Plus, what the actual heck did the new guy in Chicago say? This is going to be very interesting. We've got it all as we get up with you, starting right now on a Tuesday. Jam-packed we are, and the pancakes are on the way. Yeah. Graziano's excited. Jeff's got a fork and knife and ready to go. And that's not where the party ends. Take a look. We got Dominique ready to go. The big swagger is here on a traditional Tuesday presentation. Let's go. We start today with the greatest of all time. It's Tom Brady, who is going to retire from football, according to our Adam Schefter and Jeff Darlington. You know that, but you need to hear this. Last night, Brady asked about it on his Let's Go podcast. Here's what he said.
You know, it's a good week for me, and I'm just still going through the process that I said I was going through. So I think when the time's right, I'll be ready to make a decision one way or another, just like I said last week. We're in such an era of, you know, information and you know, people want to be in front of the news often. And I totally understand that. I understand that's the environment we're in. But I think for me, I'm just literally it's day to day with me. I'm just trying to do the best I can every day and, you know, evaluate things as they come and, you know, trying to make a great decision for me and my family. I was actually a little bit, disappointed that would actually, you know, play some part of what's going on in NFL football, which to me is been such an amazing sport, and you know the focus should be on those great games.
Okay, so that part of it actually does make some sense to me, that he didn't want to sort of take the attention away from championship weekend. Dan, what should we read into all of that?
I think it's a situation where he wants to do it on his own terms and his own timetable. We have no reason to doubt Adam and Jeff's reporting on this. I think it's a matter of time, and maybe it is a matter of he didn't want to distract from the playoffs or the Super Bowl, and it'll come after that. But at some point, I do expect that announcement to happen.
I've not had a chance to talk to the big swagoo since all of this weekend. Marcus, reaction, Tom Brady.
Listen, man, the retirement coming down at some point, and you just think of a guy that willed himself to greatness. Like, you think about all of the traits athletically, especially in the NFL today, what we talk about with dual threat quarterbacks, their ability to do more on the field, these rocket arms we see from the Josh Allens or the Patrick Mahomes of the world. And Tom Brady evolved year in and year out. This dude was playing against dudes that were literally newborns when he started playing in the NFL. He was able to cross generations. He was able to continue to evolve, and he clearly understood, based on his last tenure in Tampa, what he needed to win games. I'll tell you this, and this is something that came to my mind. Tom Brady may be in the GM conversation, because if you think about how teams have been built around him and understanding what the need is for a quarterback, he understood that as well as anybody. But his legacy will always be an overcomer. The guy that was not 6'5", the pretty dude that get off the bus. He willed himself into being the greatest of all time. That's tough to do, man, in this league with all of the greats that's played this game.
Respectfully, he was a different kind of pretty, but I understand what you're talking about. Not necessarily the first one you send off the bus. And Dominic, you were making a point this morning, and as we try and put this man into historical perspective, it's not his immediate peers that we consider, right? Those are not his rivals. Yeah.
I mean, I think Jordan comes to mind as one of the people that you would compare him to. But one of the differences between he and Jordan is when Jordan went to Washington, it wasn't the same. Brady went down to Tampa.
Right.
It would be similar to Jordan averaging 30 a game, being an MVP candidate and winning a title in D.C., which I'm sure they would have loved, but was far from what happened here. So the way that Brady's playing right now, MVP caliber player, and also walking out a year after a Super Bowl, a season where they made it into the second round of the playoffs, and also Tom Brady, I think, is if he's not going to get the MVP, he's going to be second for it. So it's really incredible. And also, Graziano, you got to add overcomer to the Swagoo dictionary.
Yep. I
got
to
add that one. You got
it? All right. Yep, we got it. We're going to log it.
We're keeping notes on all of that. If he does win the MVP, which I don't think he's going to, but he very well might. I think he's going to finish second to Rodgers. But either way, if he does, the only quarterback ever to win MVP in his final season was Norm Van Brocklin, who played half a century ago. So it would be something unique. And speaking of things that are unique,
we
you went
to
against Brady's team.
Brady was playing then.
Yeah, and in legendary games.
Yeah.
And yet your perspective on him fascinates me.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the fiercest of competition, right? Like, we went at it. He knocked me out of the playoffs. He did all those things. And then fast forward a few years, and I've now become a fan of Tom Brady, which is insane. I mean, I still have family members and friends who go, dude, you can't cheer for him. I'm like, how can you not cheer for him? I mean, he is just a different – and I think to Swagoo's first point, he earned every bit of this. Like, this is a six-round pick who took this thing over. You know, his team wins three or four championships early, and then he has another two Hall of Fame careers, one in the middle, one at the end. It's just insane what he was capable of doing. And I think in the fashion he won it, the humility, the grace, the full team, quote, team guy that he really has become, it's just insane, man. I mean, there's not enough adjectives to speak about what he's done in the NFL. I'm just, I'm in awe of the guy. It was an incredible run and something special we won't see again.
What he leaves behind in Tampa is a championship caliber team, which to me, Dan, the really fascinating, among the many fascinating questions that come from this, what do? They drafted Kyle Trask.
They did.
Last year. But if you're going to hand him the ball, then you obviously have a very different plan. Are they a team that we should expect to be in the market for the big name quarterbacks out there?
I would. I think they'll look at that veteran quarterback market first. Now, there's two very different ways they could go. They could try and run it back with this team and replace Brady at quarterback and see if it stays what it is. That would involve holding it together. In a way that Brady did, right? I mean, Leonard Fournette's a free agent. Chris Godwin's a free agent. Is it going to be as easy to get guys to sign there without him? The other way is to go rebuild, to go young, maybe see if Trask can do it, but that could involve a lot of departures on the roster, could involve changes on the coaching staff, right? Is Bruce Arians going to want to stick around for a rebuild? So Tampa has a lot to figure out. I think most likely they go that veteran quarterback route.
Okay, let's bookmark that. Pardon me. I want to come back to that a little later in the hour because there's one name out there that I think people are starting to connect to this thing. I'll be fascinated to hear everybody's reaction. In the meantime, let me take a look under the microscope at a couple of different things that sort of still simmer from the weekend. Marcus, what did you see from the Chiefs at the end of the first half on Sunday?
Absolute insanity. none understanding of their quarterback in that particular situation. And I get it. Patrick Mahomes has seen Tyreek Hill beat one man and get 3 to 4 yards every time. But this wasn't the time nor the place. Sometimes it's relevant for me to say overcomer and differentiary, G. But sometimes it's not. Sometimes I need to use different. Sometimes I need to use overcome. The simplicity of the word to just kick the field goal, man.
Joe Burrow is next. Neek, what did you see from him in that comeback?
Yeah, I mean, I saw more from just, like, the people around him. They were, like, empowered by him. And something that we have a hard time, especially us people who really like the stats of the game, have a hard time quantifying a guy like that's impact. And I think Joe Burrow, certainly we're not going to go over the top and say he's Brady-esque, but there's very few people who I think, imbue their teammates with confidence the way Joe Burrow does.
And then, Jeff, what did you see from Mahomes in that second half?
Just confusion, chaos, which we do not see very often. I saw a guy who pressed and continued to try to press. He didn't know where to go with the football, and I think ultimately that led to more confusion and more pressing on his end. We saw him turn it over, not protect the football. Just one of the most difficult experiences I think he's had as a quarterback. I would liken this to the Super Bowl the year before when his offensive line couldn't block, only this wasn't on the O-line. This was him
just not being able to play. As I think last year after the Super Bowl, they carried him off on a shield, right?
Sure.
This guy was unbelievable considering the offensive line struggles. This one felt like it was a lot more on him, which led his coach, Andy Reid, yesterday to say this.
one half away from going to his third Super Bowl in a row. And that's pretty impressive. Most of these teams that are getting this far have good quarterbacks. I mean, that's just how it works, and we're fortunate to have him. There's nobody looking at Pat Mahomes cross-eyed from our side, and I would anticipate our fans feel the same way.
Okay, so we have to make sure we define what we're talking about here. No one is looking at Patrick Mahomes cross-eyed. That's ridiculous. Right. No one is suggesting he's anything other than an outstanding player. But I have one offensive player with me here today, and I'm really interested to hear this from you, Jeff. Because so much talk on this set yesterday about the plan, what Cincinnati did as an adjustment in the second half, the way they rushed only three, played coverage, and it clearly confused, frustrated. You tell me what the right words are. And Kansas City never had the adjustment. They never went to the running game. They didn't do it.
Right.
Who's that on? Is that on the quarterback? Is that on the coach? Who's that on?
Well, yeah, I think it's on the quarterback because you give all the credit to the quarterback when he wins, so you got to give him some credit when they don't, right? And that he couldn't figure that thing out, and we just coupled it and compared him to Joe Burrow, which can get sacked nine times and still finds a way to beat the Tennessee Titans. So it was definitely not his best performance. And you could see it in his face. He didn't know where to go with the ball. He didn't understand what type of coverages, where to fit the ball in, didn't pull it down, didn't adjust to the run game or check to it. So when you look at it, man, quarterbacks get a ton of praise when they do well. They got to get criticism when they don't, if that's the way you're going to keep it. Now, when I look at Patrick Mahomes, I think they get too much credit and too much blame, but ultimately he did not play well in the second half. So there's no way to slight that one. Nobody's looking, you know, cross-eyed or whatever, but they do understand it's a missed opportunity because he didn't play well.
Here's the way I like to put it. Again, does it stick to him?
Yes.
Go back over the great quarterbacks, the people whose names we like to mention his name with, and find me that game. Find me the game where Joe Montana had an 18-point lead at home in the second quarter and winds up losing in a championship game. They don't exist very often.
Yeah, let me just say this. Like, yeah. I remember playing with Peyton Manning, and they do stick. Like, right. This is a missed opportunity because you do assign poor performances by quarterbacks in the play to them, and they're looking, and they question people, right? And it doesn't matter how fast you start, you can continue to play and it doesn't work out, they do stick to you.
And that's why, Dominique, I can see from your face you don't like the direction I'm going. You're saying this does not stick to him at all?
I mean, it didn't stick to Peyton, no matter what you say. I think it stung. Like, it hurt Peyton, but it didn't stick to him as far as his legacy is concerned. No one talks about Peyton.
It stuck to him until he did. Absolutely, it did. Yeah,
exactly.
You didn't live in that market. I'm telling you, it definitely stuck.
No. I understand what you're saying, but it didn't stick to him in the long term because of the career that he had. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes is suddenly going to – this is going to be some pivotal moment, and now he's going to be trashed the rest of his career. He's going to continue to have a great career, so that's my opinion why I think it doesn't stick to him. If it sticks to anybody, it's Andy Reid, who does have a track record of kind of embarrassing playoff debacles like this. If someone has to carry this, whether it's fair or not, the person we're going to end up looking at is a guy who's done this over and over at a number of different places. Patrick Mahomes, on the other hand, he's come back over and over, and he's proven to us that he is big time in all those moments. You remember that year when he came back in every single playoff game and then had that fourth quarter comeback in the Super Bowl? Like, those are the memories he's going to have with Patrick Mahomes. We're going to forget about this one, I think, in the long run.
So, Marcus, that's the good question. Does this one stick to Mahomes or does it stick to the coach?
It's going to stick to Mahomes. And it's going to stick to Mahomes because Mahomes considers himself great, as humble as these guys try to be. And for him to look like he looked in the second half compared to the first half. And I understand what Foxy and Jeff are saying. Like, both things can be true when it comes to overall long term and then what we're talking about now. The expectation for Patrick Mahomes in the second half of that game was to put Cincinnati lights out. I'm sure that's what he expected. That's what I expected. That's what the fans, everybody watching the game thought that was the trajectory that this game was on. And for him to come out, and not only about the play, fellas, he looked like a rookie. Yeah. He looked like he could not figure out what was happening. So a part of that with Mahomes, but then I got to go to the sideline to Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. And Jeff, I know we... But this was the situation where you run the damn football, man.
Mm-hmm. Like, amen.
You see him. If you watching what we watching, you see Patrick Mahomes confused in coverage.
Yes.
You see him not knowing where to go with the football. Cincinnati is playing him like a basketball team.
That's
literally up front. They were like, everybody just spread out. Stay in front. Don't allow him to scramble. It was years ago last week that we were thinking Patrick Mahomes was the greatest quarterback ever play the game to beat Josh Allen. You had to have Patrick Mahomes. This particular game in the second half, they looked pedestrian. The coaching staff and Patrick Mahomes. It was bad.
They averaged 6 yards a carry per rush in that game, but they never really went to it very quickly.
Don't say that before I'm sitting
up here one day going, like, they could have got the coronavirus under control sooner if they had run the ball. I mean, at some point, that's not the answer. Like, Patrick Mahomes should have been able to win that game.
But let us explain to everyone why, to Jeff's point, another reason this sticks to them is that this window, this very specific window they have, is shrinking.
Right. And that's the problem, right? Like, the contract was done. The Mahomes contract was done in a way that made it extremely team-friendly in the early years. His cap numbers will go up. And, yes, they can constantly restructure and float that down. But that's just going to make the future cap numbers bigger, make it harder to win. The whole point was get guys like Chris Jones and all these other guys under contract. So you missed this opportunity early on. And, I mean, like, I get what Dominique is saying. Like, no one's going to say, like, there's something wrong with Patrick Mahomes. But just look 10 years down the road. Look at what we're saying about Aaron Rodgers, who won the Super Bowl 11 years ago and not since. Well, was that a wasted career? Should he have done better? If that ends up being Mahomes, then, yes, we're going to have these conversations. And we're going to talk about missed opportunities in the playoffs.
Yeah, the ones that got away. Maybe this was one. All right, we're just getting started here. We're going to be jam-packed all morning long. Coming up, a bear warning. For the man in charge of Justin Fields' team. Wait till you hear what Chicago's new GM has to say. It surprised me. And then staying in that division, talk of Jim Harbaugh going back to the NFL got a whole lot louder for one big reason this morning. And we'll tell you what that is next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Get Up. We are brought to you by Farmers Insurance. Get a quote at farmers.com. All right, this is interesting NFL news. The Minnesota Vikings are flying Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh in for a second head coaching interview tomorrow. That's a very significant day because tomorrow is also National Signing Day in college football. Now, math was never my strong subject in school, Dan Graziano. But I'm putting two and two together and suggesting that if Jim Harbaugh is going to spend National Signing Day in Minnesota interviewing for a head coaching job in the NFL, that's a pretty strong indication he's not going back to Michigan.
Especially when you figure, like, National Signing Day for Harbaugh is usually this big production,
exactly.
Right? Like, they do a whole show around it, and instead he's going to go interview with the Vikings. So I think we can safely say his interest in returning to the NFL is legitimate. I mean, there's no question about it. We thought he was going to be connected with the Raiders job. Josh McDaniels ends up getting that. Now there's Minnesota. He has a relationship with the new GM in Minnesota. They worked together for a time in San Francisco. Miami still doesn't have a coach.
Right.
That's always been a connection everybody's made. I think the likelihood of Jim Harbaugh returning to the NFL is growing by the day.
All right. So, Dominique Foxworth, if I were to say to you that this makes sense to me for a number of reasons. One of them is Minnesota is the clear-cut favorite to win their division next year. What would you say to me?
Yeah, I'd agree, especially if they bring in Harbaugh. What he did with the 49ers, who had had eight consecutive losing seasons before he showed up and turned it around, eventually taking them to the Super Bowl. You put him out there with Dalvin Cook, Jefferson, Thielen, and some talent on defense. Granted, they need to address their cornerback situation, but they have talent, particularly up front on defense, I think this team could do pretty well, especially in a division that is going to be without Aaron Rodgers and, frankly, no other real serious competitors with the Bears and the Lions still kind of in rebuild mode.
Why is
What about the Bears? They just said they're taking the North over, baby. You better slow down.
You got to do more to say it. You got to do more to say it. They got to show me something.
We're going to get to that sound a little later, but that is what the new general manager in Chicago had to say. Marcus, how about it? He's got Kirk Cousins, who right now is the surest thing at quarterback in that division. Is this a prime spot for Harbaugh to pounce?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal spot from an offensive standpoint. Defense is their issue in Minnesota. If they get that part fixed, we know they can be prolific in a high-scoring offense, but consistency as well. Like, we looked at this team, and throughout the year, I picked this team to win some games, and I'm like, it's no way they should be losing like this. It's no way that these fourth-quarter games that they're in, they shouldn't be able to make a play down the stretch. But based on Harbaugh's track record in the NFL and getting – you know, to that next level for a team, that's what it says. I just want to warn everybody. I want to tell caution, because when he went to San Francisco, there was some different animals on that team. There was some dudes that we forget about that played on that San Francisco 49ers team, like Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman and those dudes up front. And on the offensive side, Colin Kaepernick and Greg Roman were in an offense that most defenses hadn't figured out how to defend yet. If you remember with the athletic quarterback and the things that they were able to do from an RPO zone read standpoint. So I would just caution, okay, that thinking he gonna go to Minnesota and revive it like it happened in San Francisco. It ain't the same personnel. You got a lot of talent, like we mentioned, on offense. But Harbaugh took a long time to beat Ohio State at Michigan, y'all.
That for sure. Real quick.
That's recruiting, by the way.
I continue to say Miami is a part of this. I said at the minute that they fired Brian Flores, I continue to believe that. Is he better off right now in Minnesota or Miami? Which one? If you had the
Minnesota.
Option. Minnesota.
Absolutely, Minnesota. You know, Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone. The Bears are a mess. They're trying to figure things out. No, Minnesota would be the right place for him. And I'll say this. If you're – how do you not believe he's leaving? Like, I mean, to me, it's almost 100%. Like,
right.
You literally are losing recruiting battles right now by being in an interview. So you better have a job, because you are competing against Ohio State, which is the reason why you probably lose a lot. So now you're saying to every recruit and every other person recruiting against you, they're going to send that to every recruit in the nation. This is insane.
Quick final thought.
And we mentioned this a couple weeks ago. My understanding is he has a contract offer from Michigan that is ready to go if he wants it, but has not yet agreed to it. So obviously leaving open his options.
Tomorrow's a big day as far as that's concerned. Meanwhile, the big day coming up for Tom Brady. The replacement plan in Tampa for Tom is interesting. There's one name I think needs to enter the conversation, and that's a little sneak peek of who I have in mind. Plus, we've got large men throwing other large men to the ground. Jeff Saturday is serving up a heap and helping a playoff pancakes. Next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back on Get Up, and Tom Brady's pending retirement leads us to wonder what your favorite Brady moment was. Jeff Saturday, how about you?
You're looking at it, baby. This ain't going to be no highlight for Tom Brady. As much as I love him, we're going to show the one that got away from him. That's what I mean. Championship game, Colts win. Tom Brady throws an interception to end the game so we can all celebrate. All the fans in Indy.
Did you score a touchdown?
I did score a touchdown.
You scored a touchdown. Don't bury the lead.
Oh, and the block. Got the block and a touchdown. MVP.
Brewski you buried there?
Oh, you buried Brewski. Teddy had no shot.
I love it. Neek, what was your favorite Tom Brady moment?
Man, I'm disappointed in you, Jeff. I think it has to be the Super Bowl comeback against the Falcons. Like, when we play this game and then cover this game, we get jaded and cynical and, like, forget how fun it is to actually just watch the game. This was one of those times that no matter how I tried to, like, be professional and keep myself out of it, like, the excitement of this game just drew me in, and I forgot I was supposed to be paying attention. I just started having fun. It was incredible.
How about you, Swaggoo? What's your favorite Tom Brady moment?
Him being hammered after that Bucs celebration with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That's the right
My
answer.
Favorite Brady moment. Right. Listen, y'all can deal with football, but I like the Tom Brady that got out of New England and wasn't all PC. I like the one that was stumbling and his boys having to hold him up when they was getting on land. Only Tom Brady can throw a Lombardi trophy, y'all. And the only way you throw a Lombardi trophy, if you hammered on that yak. That's what he was on. So that's my greatest time to see Tom Brady do his thing. I haven't seen enough football. It's enough great moments in a 22-year career. I like Tom Brady hammered after a Super Bowl celebration.
Oh, my goodness. He said it was the avocado tequila that got him.
Yeah, avocado got him.
On that day.
Whatever floats your boat.
So let's figure this thing out. So New England had to turn the page from Brady a couple of years ago. Yep. They've got a good young rookie quarterback there. Was a good rookie. Let's see what direction they go. Tampa now is going to face a similar circumstance. They have a rookie, or a guy who was a rookie last year, Kyle Trask, sitting there. They could just turn it over to him and turn the page. But I would suggest that's not what they're going to do. They've got all of these veteran players there. They have a coach who's in his late 60s. They're going to try and win now. And there's a fellow by the name of Aaron Rodgers who is going to be on the market for a new team. Dominique Foxworth, if I were to posit that that's a ready-made championship roster he could just step into, what would you say?
I mean, you're right, and you get to be in the NFC also, which would be nice, but I don't think that Aaron Rodgers wants to draw that criticism or draw that critique, because he's going to be down there with those same guys that were teammates with Tom Brady, and those guys only have great things to say about Tom Brady. I'm not so sure the same thing would be true if Aaron Rodgers goes down there, so he's going to be compared to Tom Brady no matter what, but you don't need to make it that easy.
Marcus, you think that the concern about being the guy who follows Brady, it's not like Brady was there 20 years. It's one thing to follow Brady in New England. It's another thing to follow him in Tampa. Is that a concern for you, Marcus?
Yeah. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, there's no way in the world I'm going to Tampa after Tom Brady just left his mark. Aaron Rodgers, there's no way I'm going. Like, I understand the winning. I understand the team possibly being ready-made. They got a lot of roster decisions that they have to make as well, and some other guys make decisions. But if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm trying to find a place where I can go change it. And that place for me would be the San Francisco 49ers. Like, I want to go change what has been happening. Yeah, I know the 49ers been in the Super Bowl, but if I follow Jimmy Garoppolo, people will forget about that era, and it'll be about Aaron Rodgers. It'll be Montana Steve Young, Aaron Rodgers, if he goes to San Francisco and has success. Tampa, I get it. I understand what you see, G, as far as players and what they have on their roster, but I wouldn't go anywhere that the greatest of all time just left. And even if he wins a Super Bowl, we still going to be like, well, Tom Brady could have won that. Fellas, he could have came back and did that too.
Just listen for one second. If he goes to San Francisco and is not successful and they don't go to a Super Bowl, now people are comparing him to Jimmy G, which is a train wreck altogether. Go behind Tom Brady. Everybody knows Tom Brady's the greatest of all time. Okay, so I wasn't quite Tom Brady. I can live with that. If I ain't as good as Jimmy G, my heart's broken, dog. I'm straight broken. Football's done for you. I mean, go where the best was and just tone it down from there, man.
Can I throw one other thing into the equation?
I don't think he understood the point.
If you go to Tampa,
he did.
Here are the quarterbacks, the remaining other quarterbacks in your division.
Yeah.
Are an aging Matt Ryan, Sam Darnold, and Taysom Hill.
Oh, y'all
those
stop
are the
saying
starting quarterbacks
this, man.
In the NFC South, Dominique.
But I guess my point is, if he wins the Super Bowl in Tampa, the conversation is going to be, good job, Aaron Rodgers, but you stepped into something that Tom Brady built. If you go and win it in San Francisco, yes, or somewhere else, it's like, damn. Or you go to Denver, damn, look at Aaron Rodgers. He just made this team a title contender. So if this is all about legacy and the way that we're talking about, I think this, the positive impact on his legacy going somewhere different, is bigger than going somewhere and winning it after Tom Brady kind of made it so that you could win there. And whether it's true or not, that's the way that we're going to perceive it. You know, on Get Up on Monday morning after he wins the Super Bowl in Tampa, we're going to be comparing their numbers and saying, Tom Brady did it for you. He spoon-fed you, yes, another title. Like, those are the takes that are going to be floating around.
Right. A lot of the same stuff that was said about Kevin Durant when he went to Golden State. And you know what Kevin Durant has? Two championship rings that he might not have otherwise
had. But does he seem happy? Does he seem happy about it?
Are these guys trying to tell me that Aaron Rodgers cares what people say about him? Like, I don't know if that – is there evidence to – anyway, look, I mean, I agree with what Dominique was saying. Like,
it is evidence, Odell. It's
too much, right? Like, it's not – if you want to do your own thing, like, to go where Brady – if you don't win the Super Bowl, if the ball bounces funny in the NFC Championship game and he did everything he could, you're still going to be the guy that couldn't do it in Tampa right after Tom Brady did. So I don't think that's what he's going to want. I mean, look, I don't know what he wants. I mean, he's talked about retiring. He could do that. He's 38 years old. But if he wants to go play somewhere else, I think it's probably somewhere far away from where he is.
You think he wants to follow Jimmy G? I like where you're headed.
Here's the one thing I will say.
That's a better point.
Aaron Rodgers, some love him, some hate him. But one thing, I don't think anyone disputes that he's an intelligent man. He's a smart guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just – the quarterbacks in the AFC West – that he would face in Denver are Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, and Derek Carr. The quarterbacks in the NFC South, again, are Sam Darnold, Matt Ryan, and Taysom Hill. This isn't that complicated.
I'm just telling you, if you think you're the best, you don't care about all the rest. You will go do what you have to do to show everybody that you're the best. It doesn't matter what division you play in. That's like worrying about the conference. You go worry about what you can control, and that's the team you're on.
The Packers still do have some say in this. They're going to have to trade him. And they're gonna, they'd rather see him in the AFC.
No doubt.
Anybody hungry? It is time to carb load. Go, bring out the pancake.
Foxy!
Set him down is a keeper. That is a Tuesday staple.
Get some of this. Get some of that. Throw him out the club. Swagoo, throw him out the club. You see him? One pancake, two pancakes, three pancakes. Ooh!
Peak's absence. Ooh. It is our job
get
today.
Get him up.
To be a hype man.
Get him up. Fire right on the you. Look at these. Look at these. You just getting the hype. Yes, I want to put one. Y'all got to see Boston in there. Boston, look at that right here. Pancakes are busted. That's what I'm saying, Boston. That's how we start this up. We're going to crank this up with Trey Smith, Kansas City Chiefs. Now, y'all know he has been a repeat offender on this right here. I want you to watch him. Watch him peel back. Oh, my word. Hubbard, hey, put your head on a swivel, little man. You don't want that action. Watch him go peel somebody else up. Get a little rib platter and a pancake all in one. You got to love the nastiness. Find that. Just go finding work, folks. Find work. One pancake, but look at the peel back. Just because the guy wasn't looking. Otherwise, that's more pancakes. But I love it. Nice play right there by Trey Smith, playing with some physicality. One pancake. I busted up one like Dan just put on the floor. Number two. We're going to Lakin Tomlinson. Again, got a lot of pets. Look right. Hey, y'all know who that is? That's Von Miller, baby. Trying to give that swim inside. Don't do it, my man. You're going to get dumped. Put him on his back. Head hit first. That is painful. I love the swim, but I love the finish. Two pancakes for dumping him in the middle because you're doing it to a Hall of Famer. That's a great play. That's a great block by Tomlinson right there. Two pancakes on that right there. Finally, we're going to finish this thing up. Here we go. Look right here. See the tackle? Brown?
Yeah.
Trap him. Sit on him. Then get him again. Oh, we're cutting it off. But look at him. Get him one time. Now you can get him two times. Get him again. And then mud him up a little bit. Mud him up and show him what you're about, big boy. Brown, hey, I played with his dad, Zeus. That's the kind of attitude right there. Love that. Oh, look at that view. Oh, my word. That's got to be great. When you just lay out and drape out like that, it can't get no better.
This is why you change everything. I watched that play and I was like, this is going to be on Tuesday show. That's all I was thinking.
How can it not be? On that guy. Everybody in America loves when a big man puts it up and just sets on him, looking down at him like that. Swagoo, you know that would hurt you.
Swagoo, your thoughts?
I love it, man. I got to give
them kind that make you want. Oh, go ahead, Bryce.
I got to give credit to Greeny and Grimes. You guys brought the energy today. I'm proud of you.
That's right.
Hell of a job spiking that pancake.
This mess is an homage.
We're going to need some cleaning. We're going to need a cleaning crew in here at some point. Swagger, final word.
Hey, Jeff, you know them kind of belly flops when a dude already on the ground. I'm going to have to see you after the game, player.
I'm going to have to see you after the game. Like, I'm going to see you. I'm going to see you. I'm out.
Okay. Those are the pancakes. Swagoo will get his revenge a little bit later. Meanwhile, coming up, speaking of trash talk, the Bears' new general manager gives Aaron Rodgers maybe the incentives to stay. Wait till you hear what he had to say. All that and more as we roll on. We got to do some cleaning up in here. Yeah.
Look at this right here.
Right.
This is this is demolition right here, and it's bad.
Von Miller.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We're back on Get Up, and we're looking at rookie quarterbacks going into their second season. We're going to play a game called Slump or Jump. Dan Graziano in New England. Mac Jones, will he slump or jump?
I'm going to say slump for one reason, which is that the offensive coordinator, Josh McDaniels, has left to take a new job as head coach of the Raiders. I think that kind of change heading into your second year, that's going to require some adjustment on Mac Jones' part. Might be a little bit of a dip before we see him come back up.
All right, Jeff, I'm listening carefully to this answer. Will Zach Wilson of the Jets slump or jump?
I mean, jump, but for a very simple reason. How can you slump from where you are? It'd be 2,300 yards, nine touchdowns, 11 picks. Like, so there really ain't anywhere else to go except out of the league if you slump any more than this. So that's just the way it is. Got to be a jump or you're going to be resetting in New York.
Yeah, there's no – I can't even argue with that. Dominique, to Chicago, will Justin Fields slump or jump?
I'm going to go jump for the same reason that Graziano said slump at the beginning. We're going to get some new offensive minds there. And I think with 1 year of experience with Fields and some new philosophies for how to use him and effectively use all his tools, I think that he's definitely going to do better this year. But that division, I still think, is not going to leave Minnesota.
All right, well, we'll see. One way, the Bears are hoping that Fields can start turning things around. And you go back to when they fired Lovie Smith, who had a lot of success there. The Bears are now on their fourth different head coach. They've won the division just once. But the new general manager, whose name is Ryan Poles, has great optimism on his team's direction, and he's not afraid to say so. Listen.
And the most important piece is we're going to take the North and never give it back.
We're going to take the North. And never give it back. Why are you laughing like that?
My man is high. Oh, my word. Just jumped out day one. We're going to take the North and never give it back. Listen, you know, this reminds me of my first time starting in the NFL. I chopped Brian Cox down on a cut block, and I got up talking trash. And I remember one of my teammates going, hey, man, don't piss him off. I got to block him. It falls in that category. Like, let's not upset everybody in day one. Let's just kind of slide in there. Let's make some adjustments. Let's try to get better each and every week, and then let's talk. Since it's been since 1988 since we own the North or whatever that looks like, so let's just wait and just kind of bide our time. Let's not just make bold statements that make everybody else's board day one.
That's a team I used to cover, and I know about as well as any. Mike Ditka was the coach the last time they owned the North.
Right.
They've won the North since then.
Sure.
But the last time they owned the North was before Brett Favre and then Aaron Rodgers got to the North.
I was in high school.
So it's been an awful long time. Yeah. So. But Dominique, if you're a player on that team, all right, you're take Justin Fields out of it. Well, it's even put Justin Fields in it.
Yeah.
And you hear the new guy in charge says, we're going to take the North and we're not going to give it back. Do you love it or do you look at him funny?
I mean, I think I look at him funny if I don't know him yet. But that's the same way you kind of feel about all that foolishness that we heard up in Detroit. But it seemed to have worked out some. Like, it seems like that team has embodied that philosophy. So, like, that's an attempt at kind of imposing some new culture of intensity and commitment, I guess. But you got to do the work. So as long as he's in there doing the work, I'm fine with him talking all the crazy stuff he want to talk. But as soon as I take a hit and somebody yells in my ear, I thought you was going to take the North. Yeah. I'm coming to your office on Monday morning, and you're going to have to feel what I felt.
That's the thing. The difference between what Dan Campbell said in Detroit and this is Dan Campbell was like, we're going to be physical. We're going to be biting people's kneecaps and all that kind of stuff. That's different than saying we're going to be the best team in this division. Exactly. We're going to own it. We're going to be way better than all the rest of you. Dan Campbell was setting an expectation for his guys.
For effort.
This guy is setting an expectation for the results.
That's right.
Which we haven't gotten to yet.
It's the same principle, though, right? I mean, the press conference is for the fans and for the people in the building, right? You want them fired up. Like, people are like, well, what do you think of the new GM? The fact of the matter is nobody in Chicago knows anything about him, right? They know he came from the Chiefs. And you know, if you talk to people in the league, you hear good things about his player evaluation ability, all that kind of stuff. But you don't know what to think of the new GM. And now, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, what do you think of new? Oh, we're fired up. We're going to own the North. Like, that's what it's for. So I don't think it doesn't really bleed into on-field performance 8 months from now, right? Like, no one's going to come after them because the GM said
something. Well, then let me ask you a separate question then. Let me ask you a different question. We talked about Jim Harbaugh possibly going to Minnesota. Mm-hmm. We know that they have some really good pieces there. Green Bay is probably going to turn the page to the Jordan Love era. We have no idea what that's going to look like. Detroit, what do we say about the Lions? It's been a very long time since they owned anything.
They bite knees and ankles or whatever.
So could there be something? Like, could you see this happening? If they get this thing right and they get Justin Fields headed in the right direction, I mean, he has the most potential of any quarterback in that division, it would seem. Like, could this actually happen, Dominique Foxworth?
I mean, I think it could happen. I don't see it happening immediately, but Justin Fields is going to have to get a lot better really soon. And instead of saying we're going to take the North, which I agree with Graziano, like, it doesn't bother me. Maybe it's the cornerback inside of me, and I don't think that this is high school or college where this ends up being some bulletin board material that motivates other people. But instead of doing that, we're going to make Justin Fields play like Josh Allen. Like, that's what I want. When you get that happening, because he has a similar skill set, when you get that happening, then you don't have to worry about taking the North. The North is yours. Then you worry about winning the Super Bowl. So that is the focal point for everybody in that organization going forward.
What do you think, Chap?
Yeah, I think it's going to be difficult. Look, you have an offensive line that's not very good, and they have to get better. Your number one receiver wants to leave or is going to leave. He's a franchise. Like, there's a lot on defense. You have aging guys over there. There's a lot to fix in Chicago, minus just getting Fields better. So I think – and listen, you know, whatever you want to say about Green Bay – you know, LaFleur has shown he knows how to win. Whether Rodgers leaves or not, it's going to see what happens with Jordan. There's a good coaching staff in place there. Then you move on to Minnesota. They get a new – there's some good teams or teams that you feel like could be good if they get – so they're all kind of in the same spot as where Chicago.
Go ahead, Danny.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that you have to – we assume Green Bay is going to just be a bad team when Aaron Rodgers leaves. And I don't think – I mean, they would bristle at that. They've won 13 games 3 years in a row. And Jordan Love is a first-round pick for a reason. So – look, I think it's great. I think it's great that you come out and you're telling your fans and your people, like, hey, our intention is to be great. We want to dominate the North. It's been too long. I think that's all this is.
Okay, fair enough. We'll see where they wind up going from there. And the one thing that we think is the most interesting is that they've fired Ryan and Matt and replaced them with Ryan and Matt, right?
That's very strange.
It is irrelevant, but it's extraordinarily coincidental. Meanwhile, our performance of the night last night came from the NBA, and it came from the potential MVP this year. That man is Steph Curry, taking on the Rockets. I want you to see where this got interesting, Jeff. The football player and you will like this. So Steph Curry and Kevin Porter Jr. kind of get a little bit into it here in the third quarter. Porter Jr. gets called for a foul. They're staring each other down. Now we're on the other end of the floor. Now this is going to continue, and Steph is going to pick his pocket and then walk into a wide open three. And afterwards, he would say, yeah, this kind of got him a little fired up. And in the fourth quarter, he went nuts. He had 19 through three. And then in the fourth quarter, oh, look at Steph, as only he can. The step back three. They were up by seven, and he was just getting started. Steph, feeling it. Again, knocking it down. He had 14 points at that point in the quarter, and the Warriors open a 9-point lead. Just over 4 minutes left in the game now. And we got a jump ball situation here. Mm-hmm. And you got Curry popping. Who else makes this shot in the NBA? Are you kidding?
Oh, my word.
He would later make two free throws. He would score 21 in the fourth. He would finish with 40 points on the night. And Golden State would pull away to the 122-108 win. It was a much-needed game for Curry, who, by his standards, has been in a slump the previous nine. He was averaging just 21 points a game, just 3.5 threes. Last night, his 40 points and 7 threes, most in a game he's had since before Christmas. As we roll on here, the NBA trade deadline is coming up as well. You won't want to miss our special, Malika and Woj and Kendrick Perkins and Richard Jefferson, complete coverage on deadline day. That's Thursday the 10th, next Thursday, 1 Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, Tom Brady breaking his silence about his future in the NFL. You've got to hear what he said, and we'll tell you what it meant. That's coming up. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.